Hi, I'm Max's 9-year-old stepmother. They say I'm 73, but I think I feel much more 9 than 73. Max was talking about the time that he first realized that Irving was a poet, and one of the times I really began to understand that Irving felt so deeply about words was something that happened. I used to teach, and I once got a hold of one of the standard Stanford Binet tests for grade 4. It was grade 4, it was a verbal test. So I came home, and just for fun, Irving decided he was going to do it and I was going to grade it. And when he'd finished, he handed it in to me and I graded it. And he came out at the very bottom of the scale. It was called submoronic. And that scared the shit out of me, I'll tell you, because I thought I'd married a genius. I didn't think I'd married a moron. So I went through it, and I said, what? I mean, this is for grade, this is for kids. What went wrong? And then we went through it, and I realised what it was. It was one of those things in which, for instance, the word red was written. And then it said, which of these words don't belong? Scarlet, vermilion, crimson, yellow. They were a whole lot like that, and Irving didn't get a single one right. And we talked about, he was a bit scared too, and very angry and very humiliated. Anyway, we talked about it, and I realised that for Irving, each word was so precise, so particular, so unique in its association that scarlet was as far from red as yellow was. And he had such a relationship with words that if you have to use the word scarlet, it's not red and it's not yellow. They have exactly the same distance between them. And that was a moment in which I understood the precision and the love and his unique relationship with language. Someone once asked me just a little while ago to sum up Irving in one sentence, which is, of course, impossible. But I came up with something which is probably as close as I'll ever get to it. And that is that Irving was an extraordinary man who yearned for the comforts of an ordinary life. Wife, children, home and hearth, as Zorba called it, the full catastrophe. It was an impossible combination and one which caused him a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And he always understood in his heart of hearts that he couldn't get those things in balance, because I don't think any artist ever gets those things in balance. And sometimes he'd just come up and he'd say, I'm never, ever going to write another poem as long as I live. I'm going to be normal. I'm going to be happy. That would last for about 2 seconds and then he'd go scribbling along. So it was just, he held those things, trying to get them balanced, and as I said, caused a lot of trouble to himself and a lot of trouble to a lot of people, as well as a lot of marvellous adventures. And talking of trouble, I know not one single article that has ever been written about Irving has got his marital history right. I'm not even sure that Irving got it right. But I know who he married, I know who he lived with, and I'm not going to tell tonight. The only thing I will say, though, is that we were not married. I was not his wife. However, even though I wasn't married to him, I lived with him for nearly 20 years, which is longer than anyone on the planet has ever lived with him, including his mother. And I think for that, one of us should be awarded the Purple Heart. Probably Irving. I don't regret a millisecond of that time. Without Irving, I wouldn't have had my wonderful son, David, my delightful stepson, Max, my stepdaughter, Naomi, and I'm just getting to know my son's half-sister, Samantha. Without Irving, I wouldn't have had all the wonderful friends, you know who you are, who are sitting in the audience. And the only way I can sum up my life for him is to say, what a ride. Thank you very much.